Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Show. This is the Top Shelf Edition. This is Season 3, Episode 1. It is your host, David McKay Jr., and I am joined by the one and only Dane Hantrow. It will be just yours truly and Dane tonight. Alex Parr, as well as Justin Heichel, are getting the night off. Daner, my friend, how's it going?
Life's good. Can't complain. Just looking forward to my big weekend in Ann Arbor. I'm going to be going to my first ever college game, Michigan versus Michigan State. It's apparently the prime time game of the weekend. So hence maybe, you know, the most watched college football game of this weekend. So yeah, I'm excited. As you know, I know very little about college football. You know, usually just follow mostly the NFL. So I'm looking forward to, you know, the tailgate, just kind of, you know, getting entwined with the culture of college football. And yeah, I think it's going to be a great time. Like I said, I couldn't even tell you what division that Michigan plays in. Maybe the Big Ten. I know that's one, but I don't know if that's right or not. But yeah, it's I think the atmosphere, being in a stadium of 100,000 people and the tailgate and, you know, everything that's just involved with college football, I feel like it's going to be, you know, very, you know, European football-esque, you know, with the passion that the fans have for their teams. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
That's going to be a good, very good. I said three goods there on purpose weekend because you got the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be a time for you down there for sure. I've had a few friends go to that atmosphere. There is nothing better, I've been told. Never had the opportunity myself to go there, but that is on the sport bucket list, if you will, to check that out. So take a lot of pictures and certainly send them over. Maybe the Game Sports Show Instagram page will have to post that. Now, speaking of that great transition, on yours truly's behalf, make sure you follow, like, and subscribe all the Game Sports Show's platforms, okay? It comes from Instagram. It comes from Facebook. We got also TikTok to start it. Yes, that's going to be a thing soon. And we're powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. That's TGEM for short. It's a categorized podcast platform that's locally based in Sault Ste. Marie, and it's expanding. It's some exciting news today, but I'm not going to spoil that on this edition. TGEM is growing. Make sure you follow that. And we're within the sports section of the TGEM YouTube page. But the Game Sports Show, check out thegamesportsshow.com. You can be veered to Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, Instagram, Facebook. Listen, if you can't find us, just search us on Google. We're on the top search. Yes, that's a little bit of a flex. Top search for the Game Sports Show. We are there. Now, what I want to get into before we dive into the content of Top Shelf, I know there's going to be some questions, and I want to make sure I get into that right away, right at the beginning. Yes, this is the first official show of the Game Sports Show since our two tribute shows to my close friend and co-founder of the Game Sports Show since 2016 with yours truly, Scott Nason. On October the 10th is actually when the official tribute was, but on October 12th, we did the upload on thegamesportsshow.com. That's where the Game 1400 AM edition held its tribute show. And the Game Sports Show Memorial Edition for the TGSS Canada side of the border, we held ours on October the 18th, and yours truly was a part of both shows. You can check that on thegamesportsshow.com and where you get the Game Sports Show content for those. But our recent edition prior to that, this is our first upload since September the 26th, which was the Game 1400 edition, which was Scott's last show on the Game Sports Show. So this has been a month since our previous upload, and this is the first show since that upload. I wanted to address a few things and some housekeeping items before we dive into the show very quickly and as appropriately as I can here. So Top Shelf will be the first edition. We will have In the Pocket and Strike Zone this week get uploaded. In the Pocket will be pre-recorded tomorrow, which is Wednesday, and then we'll have Strike Zone pre-record on Thursday. Now, In the Pocket will be uploaded Thursday morning, and Strike Zone will be uploaded on Friday morning, just so you're aware to check that out. The Game Sports Show has all of its platforms, as I mentioned, but the gamesportsshow.podbean.com, that is still in motion to get changed over to yours truly's name. There's still some things I have to iron out with that, so no uploads will happen on Podbean at this current time. Allow me, please, to figure that out. As soon as I can get that updated and uploaded, I will upload the tribute shows on there and all recent uploads for you to get caught up with for the Game Sports Show. That is the Podbean page. Now, the question I am getting a lot of, and I'm going to answer this in two ways. Canadian's edition of the Game Sports Show, as I mentioned on the TGSS Canada edition, all shows are continuing for the Game Sports Show. Of course, you are here listening to Top Shelf. And all, of course, TGEM. The Game Sports Show is a separate entity than the Game Entertainment and Media. However, the Game Sports Show does fall on the sports category of TGEM. So, yes, all the Game Sports Show Canada editions will be continuing. That's six shows from Top Shelf, Strike Zone, In the Pocket, to Full Time, as well as our special edition uploads, local and national editions as well. We got all of that coming up. And Butch on Sports uploads will still be occurring as well, but that technically falls under the Game Sports Show National and USA. So the question I've been getting is the Game 1400 AM edition. I'm going to be honest on this edition. I have reached out to the radio station, and I know I may get some calls or comments about this, but it is what it is. I've reached out. I have offered to host that show, and I am still awaiting feedback from the superiors at that radio station. Yours truly wants to host the Monday edition from 6 to 8 on live radio, 1400 AM. There are some complications with me being Canadian, that American show, but if I was a volunteer guest host, there wouldn't be a problem. So this communication has been relayed. I did send a follow-up email on this week, and there was a recent phone call a few weeks back that I had as well. And Butch Davis has also followed up with a few steps in there to follow up on what we're going to do. We are still awaiting response on what the direction will be for the 1400 AM edition. And as I mentioned, yours truly does want and plan to host that show with co-host Butch Davis and even Rob Horn to have him join and Matt Pocket assist. And also I want to bring in some of the Game Sports Show family, those of which Dane Hantrow, Alex Parr, the crew would be a part of that as well, as we continue to see Scott's vision that him and I had together with the show as shows continue, but also in the content that provided so much entertainment to listeners on Mondays. We hope that we are able to have that live radio in the very near future with an update in the very near future as well. But at this current time, we are still at a pause awaiting what the next steps will be. If we do not continue on live radio, I guarantee you the Monday edition will continue, and it will continue in a podcast format until next steps are determined. That's it. That's all. That's the only housekeeping I'm getting. I miss Scott every day, and for doing this as the first show, it's certainly been a little bit of an adjustment, especially the past few weeks, not touching base with him almost every day, but talking the show on Monday. He is missed by many, and we've gotten so many messages, especially the tribute show, in particular from his sister and his fantastic wife, Becky. We hope that you enjoyed those tribute shows and you continue to enjoy the content that myself and the family of TGSS and TGEM will bring forward in Scott's honor. We are not going anywhere. We are only getting started on the Game Sports Show and TGEM. This is the breakthrough year for us, 2022 and 2023. And we're going to do it and in the vision that Scott is with us here as well through that entirety as we continue forward to be the continued lonely local regional national sports show in the Sioux, but also a national show, as well as TGEM being the image that we saw it as. An absolute dynamite electric podcast platform for those who have podcasts. Dane, let's get to the show. It's been yours truly talking for the past 8 minutes or so, and I think I cleared up a lot there. Okay, I think if anyone has questions, they can comment below or reach out. But as mentioned, all shows on Canada continuing, including the YouTube channel with TGEM for special edition uploads. All new shows for the Game Sports Show will be on TGEM as well in the new year, January 2023. You will see our pretty faces on video, not just audio, as well as the Game Sports Show 1400 AM edition is on pause still for now. And for the Podbean page, that is still on pause, but I'm in the middle of trying to get that switched over to yours truly, so all listeners, and a lot of them were Scott's close friends, can enjoy on Podbean. Dane, let's get into Top Shelf. for the content here for Top Shelf, Dee and I have about a half hour, and this has been about 10 minutes of me talking and giving you the necessary updates just to get it completed before we dive into this show and the other shows we have this week and upcoming. We're going to talk all over the map here today. Okay, the season's already started. Puck has already dropped. The standings are 7 games in already. We're going to have predictions. We're going to get into news, some feedback on the season up to this point. This will not be a preview show because the season has already started. Okay, but we will have some predictions later in the show. So, Dane, I've done a good amount of talking here. I want to go over to you on the first topic that we kind of had mentioned, and I want to bring up the Vancouver Canucks first, okay? That's where I'm going to go here. You're an Oilers fan. I'm a Toronto fan, as everybody knows. I'm sure we have a lot of Michigan listeners here that want to talk about the Wings. Butch on Sports talks about them. We will talk about the original six. We'll talk about Canadian teams and Detroit more so than other teams, but we talk about other teams equally when we talk about standings and news. So, Dane, I want to talk about Vancouver first, sticking on the Canadian side here. God, yikes. 0-5-2 at this point of recording. Absolute disaster. And friend of the show, Dane, Bruce Boudreau, he's been a guest on this show. It hasn't been a good start to the season. Fans are throwing jerseys on the ice. Listen, Oilers and Leafs fans know that better than anybody. What's going on in Edmonton? What the fuck is the problem here? This team shouldn't be this bad.
Vancouver, Dave. Sorry, not to correct you there. But they're 0-5-2 to start the season, 7 games in, don't have a win on the board, have accumulated only 2 points. Believe it or not, we're only 4 points out of a playoff spot. So while I would be panicking as a Canucks fan right now, there is still a lot of season left. There is still time to dig themselves out of this hole in a very weak Pacific division. And I mean, overall, the Western Conference, not looking as great as maybe the Eastern Conference is to start the year. So, yeah, they're not completely out of it. But I mean, we got to look at, you know, what's wrong with the Vancouver Canucks. And I mean, we got to look at the defense. They have a lot of money tied up, you know, with Quinn Hughes, Ekman Larson, oh God, I'm having a brain fart right now. Help me out here, Dave. Tyler Myers,
Thatcher Demko, and Nets.
Yeah, I just, that's a lot of money for, I think, 3 guys that don't really produce that much.
Connor Garland. Forget. I know it's just under $5 million, but when you look at Connor Garland, that contract, I remember there was rumors. Apparently, he was going to both Edmonton and Toronto at the same time, because I guess every rumor ends up with Edmonton or Toronto, it's starting to seem like. But his career tie total in points was in 2020-21, where he had 39 points with the Coyotes. Okay, last year he had 52, okay? But in that Arizona season, he had only 49 games. The year before that, he had 68 games and he had 39 points. So he did a better year. He grew, and last year he had 52 points. Don't get me wrong, 50 points is a good amount of numbers, but when you're getting paid the money that you are, just under $5 million, is 52 points bad? No, but the start to this year for him, it just doesn't seem like he is going to be able to live up to the expectations in Vancouver. 2 goals in 6 games. Listen, Matthews has 1, but at least the guy has a point a game. I just feel like Connor Garland is one guy that you're spending money in that isn't worth it. Tyler Myers is a huge amount that is absolute nonsense. JT Miller, there's a guy that is highly coveted around the entirety of the league, okay, and this is a guy who's worth every penny. The guy had almost had 100 points last year, 99. Wayne Gretzky points is what he had. I don't mean that in total of 200 points. I mean in number, 99. So Vancouver has a lot of money, and they've not been shy, but the worst contract, and people are going to think I'm nuts, but that's fine. One of the worst contracts, Ilya Mikheyev. Okay, I'm going to tell you, this guy was a Toronto Maple Leaf, and they're paying him north of $4 million. The guy in 53 games had 32 points last year. Penalty kill specialist, don't get me wrong, he got played a lot, and it worked, but he is not worth what he's getting paid. So what I mean by this is Vancouver's not shy spending money, and this is causing a problem for them, a big problem.
Oh, absolutely. I think... You know, 2 years ago, or I guess it would be 3 years ago now, they went on that little run, you know, during the COVID cup there, and they won their play-in. They won the first game of the or the first round, and I think they went to game seven in the second round, and I can't remember the team that they played, but you know, that year, I think, you know, mentally, you know, where they were thinking was, you know, maybe we don't have to do a rebuild. Maybe we can, you know, just trade for a couple pieces, sign a couple guys. You know, we have Pettersson, we have Hughes, we got, you know, Bo Horvat, you know, the captain. You know, we have a decent foundation. And obviously during that playoff run, they assume they found their goalie, who I think Thatcher Demko is still a really great goalie. Obviously this year he's getting fucking shelled. Is that his fault? I think it's an accumulative effort amongst the team. I think Vancouver's in a lot of trouble in the sense that I don't think, like, whether they make the playoffs and have a playoff team, I don't think they have, you know, a team that can, you know, ever really challenge for a cup at this point. And I think unless they, you know, move out some pieces, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, you know, obviously with what's going on with JT Miller, with the media, you know, his big argument with Shen on the ice. I think he was on for, you know, every goal against last game. It seems crazy to think that, you know, you would trade a guy that you just locked up for 7 years, 8 years, or whatever the contract was. I just think Vancouver really should have pulled the trigger on more of a rebuild than they've been doing. I mean, obviously the Ekman-Larsson deal hasn't worked out for them. Yikes. I will say I love Connor Garland, and I don't know if he just gets horny when he plays the Oilers, but I would say time and time again, every time I watch Connor Garland play the Oilers, he's usually the best Canuck on the ice. I love his will. He's definitely a hard worker, and he has that skill where, you know, he can be that 20 to 30 goal guy. And I mean, yeah, slow start to the season, but the whole team's playing bad at this point. So to you know, maybe go back on what you're saying about the contract, I think it's a little too early to tell, and not enough sample size to really. I think Carter Garland's fucking awesome. I really do like his game. I wish he was on the Edmonton Oilers. He's not. He's unfortunately on Vancouver. And yeah, I mean, I don't think it's out of the possibility this team, you know, climbs themselves out of the basement and pushes for a playoff spot, but you know, no wins in the first seven games is not going to help you in the long run. And if it wasn't for the god awful Pacific Division that they play in, they would already be pretty much, you know, looking to next season. So yeah,
Vegas was the team that they lost to in the bubble, just so you know.
Was it Vegas? Okay, Vegas. So that would make sense. But yeah, so I if I'm Vancouver, I'm looking into these next games. You would hope that they can go on a little bit of a mini winning streak, at least put, you know, three in the row, hopefully. And then you can kind of, you know, take a breath, maybe not panic, you know, maybe, you know, not rush to firing Bruce Boudreau or you know, trading one of your top players. But yeah, they have a lot of money invested. With the guys that they're paying a lot of money to, I just don't think enough of them are game changers. And Vancouver's just a weird team. They're just kind of in the middle of going for it and for a rebuild, but they don't really have a path that they're following. And I think, you know, it's gonna fuck them. I don't see many good future seasons for the Vancouver Canucks, because I think they're going to be forced to move out some players to get some draft picks.
I'll tell you right now, before we move on to the next topic, 25 games in, if you're minus seven under 500, that means by seven games, start selling. That's my only advice. You trade Miller early, You try to sell a little bit higher instead of panic. Maybe people think you panic at the deadline, and GMs are not as dumb anymore to do that. So I feel if it's time to make trades, you're moving out JT Miller, you're moving out some bodies. If you're 7 games under 500 at the 25-game mark, that's the sweet spot, I'll say. And if they don't, they're going to regret it because you're going to miss the playoffs and you're going to be in the same situation going to the next year. And you have a draft this year that maybe there's that chance in the lottery where you move up a couple picks and there's some good players to choose from in this year's draft, in my honest opinion. And the value that you can get for JT Miller, a Connor Garland, especially if you're a Maple Leaf or Oilers fan, you know, you could be like, all right, Garland would be a great fit with JT Miller. The only thing I can see with JT Miller is going to the Detroit Red Wings for some reason, but I'm not here to do predictions. I honestly think that if the Vancouver 7 games under 500 at the 25 game mark, time to start selling. The standings, Dane. Now I'm going to go around because we're going to talk about teams at this current point. All right. And what I see in the National Hockey League right now is too early to tell, is what I want to say. Okay, you have a team like the Arizona Coyotes who their one win is against Toronto, which is fucking hilarious, especially with Nick Ritchie getting one of the goals in that game. The Boston Bruins, 5-1. I thought they'd get off to a slow start because of the Marchand, McAvoy injury. The Islanders, 2-4. My goodness, wouldn't have thought that. I thought they'd be a better team, to be honest with you. And Calgary look okay. The Oilers, a little bit of slow start. They're 500 now. Look, it is still too early to tell. Okay, we're five, six, seven. Some teams have 8 games into the season. Okay, one team actually has 8 games into the season, and that's the San Jose Sharks. So at this current point of recording anyways, and it's 6:54 p.m. on October 25th. And the Atlantic Division, stacked. We've talked about this off air. Metropolitan Division, Pittsburgh. I know Edmonton took care of Pittsburgh the other night. So the Metropolitan Division, I think, is wide open. The Central Division, you know, got the Stars who are looking pretty good. Colin Miller looks really good there in Dallas. I think he's fitting in really nicely with Suter as his defense partner. Colorado's Colorado. I thought goaltending would be a problem this year a little bit, but we have Gorgiev and Frank Kuz. I think they can still get the job done. The Pacific Division isn't as strong as many people thought it would be, but the Oilers, Flames, Golden Knights. Listen, this team has a lot to prove. Those are your 3 teams in this division this year. It's the Golden Knights, Flames, and Oilers. I'm not going to say who's finishing where in the standings. I don't know. If I had to say a prediction, I'd probably go Flames, Oilers, Golden Knights. I don't think Dane's going to like me saying that, but that's my honest prediction. Doesn't matter because Calgary lost to Edmonton in the playoffs last year. That's what Dane can flex on as an Oilers fan. So anyone who's Calgary Flames fans, just get off your high horse with me saying that. The Boston Bruins, the Florida Panthers, all these teams, you have expectations, but it's those teams right now, Dane, that are not expected that are doing good. I knew Detroit would be good. I know 3-0-2, again, 5 games in, small sample size, but they're on the right frickin' path, and it pains me because I dislike the Red Wings so much because all they did was win when I was a kid, and it was so damn annoying. The Buffalo Sabres, 4-1, but they always start hot. It's easy for me to say. The Ottawa Senators, I said this on a recent 1400 AM edition with Scott. It was the last show that we had. I believe you can check it on from September 26th. I said, watch out for the Ottawa Senators this year. That team is going to be that team that might beat Toronto in 7 games this year. That's what's going to happen. That was my joke that I said, and I hope that doesn't come to fruition. But these are teams that are good to watch, these teams that are going to be getting to make that next step. New Jersey Devils, again, another team. Dane, there's those teams that maybe don't have anything to lose this year that might be worth watching.
Well, I don't know if they don't have anything to lose. I think, you know, you look at teams, especially in the Atlantic, the Red Wings, the Senators. I mean, the Sabres are all always hoping to, you know, get out of the basement and you know, be this team that, you know, we've expected to make these, you know, leaps and bounds to, you know, be at least contending for the playoffs and, you know, not being a bottom dweller. But yeah, all three of them in the Atlantic are doing good so far. I think Stevie Y during free agent frenzy, you know, maybe made some deals that were like, I don't know if I, you know, Ben Chiarot being, you know, the big one, you know, a lot of money in term for, you know, maybe a guy that, you know, maybe he's making a little bit more than, you know, the general public thinks he should be making. But yeah, I look at, you know, Dominic Kubalik 8 points in five games. You know, had a couple of good seasons with Chicago. I think he had a 30-goal campaign the 1 year. Struggled mightily last year. I mean, along with, you know, the majority of the team, the Blackhawks were just a bad hockey team last year. So far, he seemed like he's found a home in Detroit. He's playing kind of up to his potential. David Perreault, 5 points in five games. So, yeah, I mean, why would we ever disagree with anything Steve Yzerman's ever done? Not saying that me, you did. I'm just saying the general public. Yeah, Detroit.
We never know, did.
Are they back? Are they back yet, Dave?
Don't say that. Not back. Not this year. They won't make it still this year. I'm flat out going to say it. No. Next year, though, watch out.
But, yeah, I would like – I mean, do I think Toronto's still going to make the playoffs? I mean, obviously, I think, you know, they're top – definitely a top three team in the Atlantic, you know, maybe pushing top two. We'll see how they fare this year. Florida looks like they haven't skipped a beat. So, I mean, that's a little bit worrisome. And, like, I mean, do I think the Sabres, Red Wings, and Senators are going to – you know, all three are going to keep up this momentum through the year and really all three push for a playoff spot? It's unlikely. I do like the Senators the most out of those three teams, but you never know. I mean, I've seen Buffalo have a pretty great start to the season in prior years in the Jack Eichel era. I think they started 1 year, they were like 20-9 or something like that. This is like 3-4 years ago, before the Jack Eichel injury, and they just completely fell off in the second half of the season. And I think, you know, with the last month of the season, we're, you know, barely contending for a playoff spot. So that could happen again. But I mean, these teams have definitely, you know, put in their time of being bad, and they've all done the rebuilds, you know, the right way. I think you look at, you know, Detroit and Ottawa, especially, they, you know, we're patient. And I think, you know, after, you know, some of the success they had last year, obviously, you know, still, you know, weren't really competing for a playoff spot, you know, down to the wire. But yeah, they signed some pieces, they made some trades, and, you know, five, six games in the season, it's looking great so far. So, I think the Atlantic this year will be a whole lot more competitive. I mean, Montreal, even at 3-3, gotta love that. Nick Suzuki looks like he's, you know, there's no pressure on him as the captain of the Montreal Canadiens right now. Cole Caulfield's putting the puck in the net. Even Sean Monahan's been finding some success, you know, coming off of you know, an injury plagued season last year. And, you know, maybe his future, you know, was kind of, you know, uncertain what kind of player he was going to be. And so, yeah, I mean, the Atlantic is, I mean, stacked. And like I said, I imagine some of these teams will definitely drop off as, you know, the wear and the tear of the long 82-game season goes. But, yeah, that's what I got on the Atlantic division and you know, those teams that have, you know, been going through the rebuilds or finally, you know, coming out to play and showing you know, the teams, what kind of shiny pieces they got to offer.
So what I'm going to do before we jump into a question I'm going to ask you, because I think you're going to be on you're going to defend, I think, a little bit. So before I dive into that, I won't get into too much about Toronto here. Honestly, you know, at this time of recording, Toronto lost to Vegas last night, and it was a very poor effort performance by the Toronto Maple Leafs, my opinion, except Ilya Samsonov.
I have, like, for whatever, like, I've watched probably half the Leafs games this year, and I don't know if I've just picked the three, but I don't, they seem a little disinterested. I find a lot of the Leafs games that I've watched this year, and it goes for both teams, really, have just not been, like, high-intensity games. To be honest, they've been boring. Sometimes playing boring hockey is a good thing if you're winning, you know,
if you're the New Jersey Devils of 2001, maybe it's
that's not Toronto's game. Toronto's not going to win 2-1 games this season. So no. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Dave.
No, you're good. Honestly, the Matthews, I'm gonna kibosh a few things. Matthews having one goal, is that a concern? No, it's not. If he's 25 games in, have one goal, come talk to me. 20 games in, maybe, yes.
He's still scoring 50 this year. Okay. He might not get 60, but he's going to score 50.
Everybody talking about – to shut up about Matthews. The guy is – every time I talk about Toronto, when I refer to teams, I used to love the team in 2002, where I would literally jump in front of a moving vehicle for them, for that team. That's how much I loved that team in 02. It's hard to get by this team. I love a good amount of players: Marner, Matthews, Riley, Tavares. I'm sorry, there is a few others I do like, but there's a love-hate. The love-hate people are Tavares and Nylander. The ones that need to go are the Justin Halls. He's my new Jake Gardner, as well as a few other players on that team that don't need to be named. And there was a trade this offseason for Matt Murray, and there's people that are pulling for Matt Murray. Heck, I was, because it would have been such a cool story for him to bounce back. But it's hard to get by somebody whose glove hand is absolute invisible in that first game, and then he gets hurt because he did a random stretch. And there's a video that Dane sent me that I'm not going to talk about because it is a little bit inappropriate, but it's fucking hilarious about Matt Murray. And it's on TikTok, and when Dubas and Matthews are going on to a mission or something, and Murray comes out as something else, and I won't get into that. But that defines it, because he's a Band-Aid and he gets hurt. I have been pulling, and I've said this on a lot of shows on here prior to Top Shelf restarting, Ilya Samsonov. The guy is an RFA this year, after this year, $1.5 million. He's a former first-round pick. He was good in the bubble for Washington. The promise is there, okay? And I think that is who you got to lean on. That dude needs that confidence. This could be a guy that works out. But is he a guy who's going to take you to the Cup Finals? I don't know. I really don't know. I think what Toronto needs to focus on is getting that offensive game. They need a third line forward still. I don't think that's going to win you a cup. Nick Paul has walked through the team last year in Game 7. That's what wins you that championship. And somebody who's on the block is a Jake Chychrun. But can you afford a Jake Chychrun? No, because you're cap fucked and you got prospects that you have to get rid of for that. And one person who you don't want to get rid of is Matthew Nyes or Nick Robertson. So I don't know how you're going to start that conversation unless you start William Nylander. But are you really going to get rid of an established player when you're going for the cup? So Toronto is in a tough situation. So here's what I'm going to say about Toronto. Don't panic. They're going to be a playoff team no matter what happens. Something will work out there. If they're not, oh my God, riots will happen. But besides that, Toronto's a playoff team, but this is a team that's hard to get by because Dane hit the nail on the head. It's just interesting to watch. They're not exciting to watch now. Matthews, Marner, Riley aside, even Tavares, Nylander so far, I'm very pleased with the performance. When I see Nick Robertson out there trying, that's what I want to see. I want a bunch of guys that are like Nick Robertson to complement the Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and I guess Nylander. So that is what Toronto needs to focus on, is that tenacious game, hardworking game. Make it interesting, but show that you want it. Because right now, that is not what we're seeing by fans, and it's so hard to get behind. Especially when you play teams like Arizona, Montreal, and you fucking lose to these dust teams. I'm sorry, Montreal. You've done well this year to this point, but you're still not a good team. Arizona, you are the worst team that has ever been put on paper. I am sorry. I have never seen... I could not make a team that bad in Chel 23, okay? There's no way. They're not a good team, and you're losing to these teams. Vegas, I think Vegas is actually a good hockey team. So despite that, though, there's games where they're just not in it mentally, and it's seen. It's the same habits that we are seeing if you're a Toronto fan. The same habits that are continuing that just can't be addressed, and they're never addressed in the offseason. Dubas made some moves, but this team is still not that point. And guess what? This is the year that you better be at that fucking point. This was the year that you're supposed to make that step. And if that's why, and you can ask Dane, he'll verify this. Every Toronto loss, except yesterday, because I forgot to and it was a little bit late, I send an hourglass to my chat. The reason why I do that, because the clock is fucking ticking. And it's not ticking on Matthews, Marner, Riley, Tavares, Nylander. It's fucking ticking on Dubas and Sheldon Keefe. Yes, I said it, and Sheldon Keefe. Not Brendan Shanahan. It's Kyle Dubas. And that's from a Sioux native to another Sioux native. Toronto better start showing something, because it has not been exciting hockey. I did say I wouldn't get into a lot there, but I did, and it took 4 minutes to do it. I can't believe I got sucked into that to do it. Dane, the question I want to ask you, and we'll talk, I'm sure, more, at least, especially when Heichel and Alex are on the show, Oilers. You know what the first question I'm going to ask you is? How is Soup doing? Okay, what is your opinion on Jack the Sorcery Campbell? Jackery Campbell.
Well, but before I get to Jack Campbell, I just want to talk about former Leafs legend, and since you were already talking about Vegas, Phil Kessel.
Oh, yeah, baby. And Mike Amadio. Mike Amadio got a goal yesterday, and they put him on waivers. I love it. I love it. Nick Ritchie scores. Mike Amadio scores. Phil Kessel got a goal called back. He doesn't fucking care. He got an assist the next play. Love it. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, just breaking the Ironman record. I mean... If you, you know, got to pick a handful of players, not knowing how many games that they've played consecutively in the NHL, and you look at Phil Kessel, maybe it's just that burly body that he has. You know, he has a little bit of that extra fat on him, and it just gives you that much more of a cushion to, you know, maybe not get injured. I don't know what it is, but he's a remarkable specimen is all I want to say about Phil the Thrill. And he might go down as my favorite American hockey player of all time. I love Phil Kessel. Love Phil Kessel.
Who doesn't love Phil Kessel?
But anyways, on to the Oilers. Jack's been decent, I think would be the word that I would use. Obviously, he got lit up by Calgary. I think we watched enough shenanigans between Edmonton and Calgary last year, especially in the first game of the playoffs, that it's just two teams playing each other where crazy shit happens. I would say that two of the goals he probably would have liked back in that Calgary game, two of them you can't really put on him. So yeah, I mean, right now his stats don't look good. They're a little inflated from that Calgary game. He played well last night, good enough to get the win. He kept the Oilers in a game where they absolutely got fucking shelled in the first period. And I don't know what it is with the Oilers, but this has been like a 3-year thing where that team just plays so bad in the first period. And then it's like, oh, we're down 2-3 goals. Now we're just going to play like the Edmonton Oilers can play. And then, you know, half the time they make these remarkable comebacks and look like, you know, there's not a team in the league that could touch them when they're playing like that. But it fucking takes them 20 minutes every game, and it doesn't help your goalie's confidence, you know, when you decide to play like shit in the first 20 minutes of the game and give up all these high, you know, danger scoring chances. And yeah, you know, a couple of them go in, and then what does that do for the goalie's confidence? So I think just goaltending in Edmonton would generally be better if, you know, they can kind of get out to that early lead, score the first goal of the game. Edmonton in the last 2-3 seasons is the best team in the league as like a winning percentage of like 900 when they score the first goal of the game. So put that into perspective, you know, how many games last year did we have to come from behind to you know be a playoff team, when if, you know, we just fucking tried a little bit harder in the first period and got that first goal. So I mean, I know it goes deeper than that. I don't think they, you know, go out of their way to, you know wait till the second period to find their game, but Jack Campbell's been fine so far. Like he hasn't been bad enough that I'm worried yet. Lots of season to go. Stuart Skinner has been pretty good so far. I mean, he came in for relief in the Calgary game. Didn't play unreal against the Coyotes, but didn't play bad either. Again, just the goals that go in are just they're hard for even an NHL goalie to stop most of the time. So, I mean, you had Carey Price in his prime in Edmonton. Maybe it wouldn't show that much. So I think, yeah, the defensive game for Edmonton is where, I mean, it's been the known fact for the last, you know, 3 seasons is keeping the puck out of the net, right? It has nothing to do with, you know, how many goals we can score. We know we can score plenty of goals, but we need to start winning more 2-1 hockey games, 3-1 hockey games to, you know, get our goalie to have some confidence. Because, you know, when you get shell-shocked in the first period, where you're letting the first goal in of, you know, the game, it kills you, which hasn't happened yet so far. But Mikko Koskinen, how are you, buddy? Which, I mean, half of those were like, he should have fucking stopped those. So, yeah, Jack's been good. I mean, obviously we're 3-3 right now. I think the road trip will be really good for Edmonton. I think we've been kind of sitting at home for the first six games of the season, which I think is hard to, you know, maybe get, you know, completely invested in the hockey season, especially when you're not traveling on the road, hanging out with the boys, you know, having beers on the plane, you know, all that good stuff. So I think the road trip will be good for them. And yeah, I mean, 3-3 is not a bad spot to be. We play in a really weak division. So obviously I'd like to see a little bit more from the team. I think one thing I do like so far, and I can't say for every game, but the majority of the games, Darnell Nurse has been playing pretty well. We just need that guy to score 30 points a season and play shutdown defense, because he has the ability. He's one of the best skaters in the NHL. He needs to use his legs. He needs to use his upper body to push guys off of pucks. And the biggest thing with Darnell Nurse is he needs to make better and smarter passes out of our zone, which he has the ability to do, just for whatever reason, sometimes makes the wrong decision or decides to play it off the glass when he might have a little bit more time with the puck than he thinks. But yeah, other than that, the Oilers are kind of like the Leafs right now, not the greatest starts of the season. You know, areas that they can definitely improve on, but lots of season to go, Dave. So like I said, I wouldn't be too concerned if you're a Leafs or an Oilers fan at this point in the season.
Like I said numerous times, I said this, it's still early, but you don't get hopes up. Just expect the worst and you'll never be disappointed. If anyone can name what the movie that's from, I would appreciate the comment below. It's a very good recent movie. Maybe you could, Dane. I'm not too sure. I won't put you on the spot, though. Connor McDavid gets a Voigt's injury yesterday, as does John Tavares. Both captains of the Leafs and Oilers get a, I believe that was last night with Connor McDavid, if my stats and notes are correct. But nonetheless, he avoids an injury. Tavares comes back into the game. Injuries are things that you do not want to see. Especially
last time Connor McDavid ran into the goalpost, he was out for a significant amount of time.
Remember that was
while he wasn't really out for that long, but the last game of the season and then the off season, but his fucking leg was shattered. So
you and I were in the apartment.
My anxiety was through the roof watching that.
You and I were in the apartment watching that. Remember that? Remember when you were staring? Me and Dane were roommates before, if anybody cares to know. Dane and I were watching this in the apartment, and we call our old apartment the apartment because that's just what it was. He hit the post, and your face is I watched your face. That's all I did. I just stared at your face. I didn't even look at the post. I remember looking at McDavid's face or McDavid's words. He said he thinks it's broken. He thought it was broken. And I read
his lips as soon as they panned the camera over him. I'm like, no. They do that little mini series on his like road to recovery, like, and then you find out like it was way worse than you know, just a broken leg. Like he had to do, you know, this extensive rehab. You know, there was thoughts that maybe he would never be able to skate like he used to skate. Like it was some serious shit like that. And I mean, it wasn't made public, you know, to the media until they kind of had that you know, hour special on Sportsnet or whatever it was, and he watched his road to recovery, and it was like, holy fuck, like his career was, you know, potentially on the line. And I think, you know, he found the surgeon that would have, you know, was willing to maybe do this, you know, the special surgery. I can't remember the, you know, the complete details of it, but yeah, shocking. I don't remember it being in the apartment, and I probably only because moments like that I tried to, you know, rid from my memory, because, you know, obviously that was a very traumatic moment. And so yeah, last night his fucking spine goes off the post, he needs help off the ice, and then, you know, luckily he came back like 10 minutes later and, you know, the anxiety was gone. But literally as soon as McDavid got hurt, kind of propelled the Oilers to, you know, snap out of it. And after getting dominated in the first period, I think they got outshot like 19-4 or 20-4. And then the second period, they outshot Pittsburgh 26-4 and actually set a franchise record for the most shots in a with 26, which was highly impressive. So obviously, you know, I don't need Connor McDavid to get hurt for the team to kind of, you know, get their shit together and play like they can. So, I mean, the one positive you can always take away from the Oilers is they're never out of any hockey game. It doesn't matter what the fucking score is, as long as there's enough time on the clock. But I think, you know, once that team starts, you know, learning how to, you know, get that first goal of the game and playing with the lead, I think will, you know, become extremely dangerous to play against if they can get on the board first.
So we talked around different divisions, different teams, and, you know, we give equal love on the show, as I mentioned. There might be a little bit extra love to Oilers and Leafs and to some of the original six Canadian teams in Detroit, given our location. But what I want to get into here as we get towards the tail end, this is the Game Sports Show. This is the Top Shelf Edition, Season 3, Episode 1. Dave McKay Jr. joined by Dane Hantrow. The Game Sports Show is powered by the Game Entertainment Media, TGEM. Our website's going to have a new update. It's going to be exciting. We have new sponsors such as The Sports Displays. You may have heard it at the beginning of this show, that lengthy introduction. Very, very amazing stuff. And they have a fundraising opportunity that you can check out on YouTube. Just contact with yours truly to get in touch with the right contacts for you to fundraiser for your hockey team or sports team today. They got some great hangers and some product, a great product available that you can put up in your cave, in your office. I got a few up. You got some jerseys up. It's right up on the wall. Avoid the hole. Stick up to the wall. That is where the jersey goes. You can do a fundraiser. And the fundraiser is right in front of me. You know, you sign up, you do a custom shopping cart link, you do a shopping link and material. Fundraiser starts, you send the custom links, they click the link, you collect the money, and order shipped. Very simple 8-step plan and very detailed, simply for what you require. Again, that's thesportsdisplays.com. Now, Dane, I want to get into, as we get towards the ending of the show, here's one thing I'm going to say. Michael Mezza. Does that name ring a bell to you at all?
I think it rings a bell, but I'm not actually sure who that is.
Saginaw Spirit, Ontario Hockey League.
Oh, is this the 15-year-old, right?
15-year-old kid, all right? He is from Oakville, Ontario. He's 5'11", buck 61. He shoots left. He's a centerman. He wears number 77. He is 15 years old. 10 games, 14 points in the Ontario Hockey League. The guy is absolutely just looking like a stud. Okay, whoever gets this guy the next 3 years, I think Arizona's tanking for the next few years just so they can get Bedard and they can get Mezza and get these guys try to repair that joke of a franchise. I'm sorry. Connor Bedard this year, 12 games, 21 points. Looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. The Canadian forward side of things is looking really bright. If you're looking at Mezza, Connor Bedard, and of course you got Connor McDavid who's at the helm leading. The Canadian forward's looking all right, okay? They're looking all right. That's the only time I want to bring up this Michael Mezza because I feel like this is a guy that we're going to talk about in the next coming months and years as it leads up to his first overall pick that's going to be happening. And yes, I said that. He will be a first overall pick. You just see it. You just know. You just know. So, Dane, this is what I'm going to do. Make this brief. I want you to name the winner of each division, your prediction. We're going to get to the Game Sports Show predictions that everybody loves. The winner of each division. And then I want you to list in order the Canadian team standings. Yes, I said that. Then we'll do something off-putting here. Not off-putting. That might not be the right term, but fuck it. Conference finalists, the final four this year. Start with the divisions.
Okay, well, I'll start in the Atlantic Division. And, oh, you know what? I'm going to go Florida again. Yep. I think I like their goaltending. I mean, Sergei's making a little bit too much and, you know, obviously, Spencer Knight's kind of waiting to take the reins there, but unless they can move Bob out, I don't like that. Matthew Tkachuk's come there. Looks like he's found a fit. He's leading the team with points with 8. So I don't know if Florida's going to fall off as much as people think, but yeah, I'll just take the Florida Panthers again because
there's a lot going on in that division right now. I mean, it's not that I can't see Boston winning that division. I mean, they're off to a great start, but are they, you know, better than, you know, Tampa and Toronto? Time will tell. We'll go to the Metropolitan. I'm going to take the Carolina Hurricanes this year. I think this team finally makes a push in the playoffs, gets to the conference finals. Oops, sorry, spoiler alert. I'll save that. Colorado. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go off the board on this one a little bit. I think Colorado is still a great hockey team, is going to contend for a cup this year, but I'm going to go with the St. Louis Blues to win the Central this year. And in the Pacific, to win the division, I'm kind of on board with you, Dave. I think, I mean, my heart wants to say Edmonton. I think Calgary is going to be a really good hockey team again this year. And I think it's going to go kind of down to the wire. But no, I'm going to do it. I'll pick Edmonton. I'm just going to do it. Oilers. If I was betting on it, though, I might say Calgary if I was a betting man. But
well, it's nice you put that in the universe. Spoiler alert, I'm not putting Toronto first for the Atlantic. But Canadian teams in order.
I'll go Oilers, Flames, Leafs, Senators.
Love that pick.
Who else do we got here? Winnipeg, Vancouver. And then Montreal.
Ooh, Montreal underneath Vancouver. Love that. Conference finalists.
So I got a rematch of last year. I'm going to go Edmonton versus Colorado. I think St. Louis is definitely a team. I just like their four lines deep. You know, they don't really have any superstars. I mean, you can say Tarasenko is, you know, still, you know, one of the elite players in the league. But yeah, I just like their depth. Jordan Binnington's showed that he's a stud in the playoffs. Unfortunately, got injured last year in the playoffs. And, you know, obviously didn't have the best regular season. But, you know, as long as you can get in the playoffs and your goalie can catch fire and you know, just kind of have those calm nerves and you know, just kind of settle your team in the games in the playoffs and, you know, get all the other guys to feel warm and fuzzy and don't have to worry about, you know, the puck going in their own net is a big thing. And then I got in the Eastern Conference. I don't want to say it, Dave, and I don't even know if I believe it. I got the Carolina Hurricanes in it, and I really do want to say the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I don't love their goaltending. I'm gonna go a little off the board here. I'm gonna say it's gonna be the Carolina Hurricanes versus the Boston Bruins. I want to say the Leafs, but I just don't think they have the goaltending. But we'll see. Sir Samsonov, good, you know, maybe turn into that goalie that, you know, Washington thought he might, you know, become in his first season there. But yeah, that's what I got. How about you, my friend?
Atlantic Division. I'm actually going to go a little bit unexpected. I'm going to say I was debating between Tampa and Florida here, but I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the division. And to say that, that'll make a first-round matchup. No, not for Toronto-Boston. I know everyone would love that. I was hoping to say that Toronto would play Boston, then play Philly in the second round, then play Carolina in the next round because of all their past demons. Boston, they lost to Philly in 04, and Carolina, they lost in 02 to the conference final. But listen, this is not a Cinderella story. Toronto, if they're going to make it, they're going to have to get past the first round. And people say they're going to have to beat the Demons. But you know what? No, they just got to get out of the first round. That's the Demon. Tampa Bay Lightning was going to win the Atlantic Division, but Toronto will be in the top three. Okay? I'll just say that if anyone's wondering about Toronto fans. Metropolitan Division. And I'm a Leaf fan, and I said they didn't win. I love that. It feels good not to be biased. They'll finish second, though. Metropolitan Division, I'm taking Carolina Hurricanes. They're by far the better team in that division. Easy peasy. Central Division, I'm going a little bit off the board, too. The way it is now, except Chicago won't be where they're at. I think they'll be Minnesota. It'll be where Chicago is currently in the standings. That's the way it's going to end. I think Dallas is winning that division. I have a feeling about Dallas. Ooh. Jake Oettinger, man. Jake Oettinger, that guy is going to
be nasty. He's nasty. That game against the game seven against Calgary.
Gross.
Last year was
fucking gross.
Arguably, I mean, he still got three goals in, but was still maybe arguably the greatest goaltending performance that I have witnessed in recent memory. Some of the fucking saves that he made. Dallas in the game.
It's Chell 23 unbelievable. Goalie level right now. That's the steroids that he was on in that game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Calgary was, you know, they completely outplayed Dallas, but I mean, they for sure, you know, could have lost that game just because of how good Oettinger was. So, yeah, I love the contract that he got. I think three- or four-year deal at $4 million or something like that, maybe even just a little bit under that. So great, great deal for the Dallas Stars, who are a team that is also a little cat-fucked with Mr. Jamie Benn and Sagan. So, Tyler, I mean, I don't think Jamie Benn's ever going to be a point-per-game guy ever again, but I still have hopes for Mr. Tyler Seguin there to kind of bounce back from a bunch of injuries that he's had. So 6 points in six games, looking good so far.
Looking good. Dallas winning that division, though. Then the Pacific, sorry, Dane, I'm taking the Calgary Flames to win that division. But the Oilers,
you're probably right. You're probably right, but yeah.
The Oilers will be behind them in second. And yes, Vegas will make it this year. If anyone thinks Vegas is not going to make it, I know people doubt their goaltending. They'll make something work. Everyone makes something work at all times. But everyone asks for me, who's going to finish fourth in that division? That's a very good question. So I will answer that as a bonus here. LA will come through, just so everybody knows. That's your four. Canadian teams in order. People are going to be upset. They'll be like, how are you a Leaf fan? Calgary will be the first Canadian team. The second Canadian team will be the Toronto Maple Leafs. The third Canadian team will be the Edmonton Oilers. The fourth Canadian team, fuck it, going off the board. I almost did it. I'm thinking. I'm going to do the fourth Canadian team, the Ottawa Senators. Yes, I did it. The fifth team, I'm going with the Winnipeg Jets. The sixth team, the Montreal Canadiens. And the 17, sorry, Vancouver. I don't think you're bouncing back this year. I just got a feeling they're not bouncing back. They're going to finish last this year of the Canadian teams. Montreal fans are probably like, no! We want Bedard. You know, Mark
is a Vancouver Canucks fan, so.
Listen. Imagine. And just because I said Ottawa fourth, that doesn't mean I think Ottawa's making the playoffs. But I did say imagine Ottawa, Toronto in the first round again, like the olden days. Oh, see, like I would miss those times. I miss when Toronto never lost in the first round of the Ottawa Senators. But that's my placement. Conference finals, I'm actually going to start with the East first. Dane, I actually have what you said first. I actually do have Carolina, Toronto. I think Dubas is going to know at the end of the year he has to do something special. He's going to have to sell some assets, A, to keep his fucking job, and to friggin' entice Matthews to stay, even though people say, oh, he's going to lock up. Listen, you don't get out of the first round this year. It's going to be very hard to lock up Matthews long-term. Arizona fans are like, oh, really? That's what some Arizona fans are saying right now. To get a grip. Arizona's a joke. I don't even think he'd go there even if he left Toronto. I'm sorry. I don't think he would. I just said that. Now, conference final, Carolina, Toronto said that. Western Conference. This was hard. This was very, very difficult. There will be an Alberta team in there in the conference final. And I'm sorry, Dane, the Oilers are not going to beat the Calgary Flames the second round this year. I like Calgary this year. I really do as a Canadian team in the West. Not anything against the Oilers. Not because Zach Hyman or Jack Campbell are there either. No. I just think Calgary, I got something with Calgary this year. I just got that. They had that animosity with Tkachuk leaving, right? And they could bring in Hubert, though, and you bring in Kadri, who I love and miss so much, especially if you're a Toronto fan. Calgary will be that one team. The other team will be the Dallas Stars. I think you're going to see Dallas get there. Jake Oettinger is going to get there, and he's going to put on a fucking clinic. But again, he's not going to be able to beat Calgary. So I just spoiled who I think is going in the Western Conference, but I'm not going to say who I think is going in the East. Don't make me say it because I'm not gonna say it.
I mean we gotta do our cup final. I got Oilers over Carolina. Rematch of 2006.
Oh, I'm not, you know what, Dan, you're gonna dislike me. I'm not gonna say who's going to the cup final.
Are you Calgary, Toronto? Sure.
I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna say it. I don't even wanna put it out there because let me say, I think Carolina.
Just remember who Calgary's daddy is.
I think Carolina.
Who's Calgary's daddy?
Let me say one thing.
Who's Calgary's daddy?
Justin Hall. That's Connor McDavid's daddy. Let me just say this: Carolina is a very special team this year.
I think Pacioretty and Brett Burns coming there is going to bring, you know,
Freddie Anderson. Freddie Anderson.
Fuck, he was the best goalie in the league last year.
And where did he play before that? Toronto. I love it. Jake Gardner's on Carolina, too. I hope Jake Gardner lifts the cup this year and yells, the game spore show sucks. I hope he yells that just to rub it in my face.
Toronto and Edmonton got to stop blaming bad goaltending on what is actually bad defense.
No, because look at what is happening. Okay. Anderson's doing good. You got goaltenders that have left. I won't even get into that. Okay, but I'm kidding. I hope Gardner doesn't say the game sports show sucks. The game sports show is unbelievable, but it would be funny because of how long I've been saying Jake Gardner sucks, and it'd be hilarious to see him lift a cup this year and Freddie Anderson and those guys. I'd be like, yep, that's what we needed. Just like watching Kadri lift the cup last year. That's the predictions from the Game Sports Show. And comment below what you think. Dane, you and I have been talking an hour. We had a pack this year. We're trying to keep podcasts about a half hour, not for the opening shows. Okay, there's a lot to get into. There's a lot more that we'll get into. When people ask about schedules, In the Pocket is the only set schedule show that we have. When it comes to Top Shelf, when it comes to Strike Zone, when it comes to even our special edition uploads, which our next one, by the way, is with Pierre-Luc LeBlanc, former enforcer with the New Jersey Devils. Following that would be Ian White and Zach Fucali. We got some killer episodes coming up. Top Shelf will be an edition that is determined by a week-by-week basis. We do plan to have one show every 10 days is the plan for Top Shelf, at most 14, to the exception of any vacation that we plan to have, and we do have a vacation in December. So there's a lot. Just keep an eye and listen to shows because it'll tell you schedules of other shows. Okay, people ask me what the schedule is going to be. Just keep an eye on our fucking uploads. That's all I got to say. And if you're older,
where are you going in December? Christmas.
No, where we have it's our show's vacation.
We have our show's vacation.
Every summer.
You and Hannah are going on vacation.
No, we can't afford to go on vacation. We got our fucking wedding next year.
No, I know. Fair enough.
And honeymoon in Italy that is going to be on the coast of pasta and I don't even know I'm going to be eating.
Some cheese, some meats, a little pasta, a little pizza.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to be hosting. You're going to be hosting all the shows at that point.
You got to bring me some cheese back.
Some cheese. Some cheese. I'll bring you some prosciutto back. How about that?
No, I want prosciutto and some Parmesan.
Some Parmesan. You love your Parmesan.
I fucking love Parmesan.
This has been the Game Sports Show Top Shelf Edition, Season 3, Episode 1. Hopefully you enjoyed this content. Any questions with the beginning of the show? If you're offended with anything I said at the beginning of the show, let me know. I don't think you would be. I'm just saying that to be just poke fun. But comment below if you have any questions or you want to reach out with any feedback about schedules with the Game Sports Show. Or just comment what you think what we said. If you think we're nuts, tell us. We love being called nuts. Dane and I are nuts. If we're not hosts of the show, we take off our host hats. We're Oilers and Leaf fans. Obviously, we're nuts. Especially me. Nuts. This is me talking normal. I'm not nervous. No, I'm not. I'm not in any disarray and hockey. I love sports. That's all I got. That's all I got to be comical today. Dane, thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show here, my friend. You and I, we'll do this again within the next 10 to 14 days. We'll have episode 2 come on. Hopefully, Heichel and Parr can join us. And the Game Sports Show, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe on all the platforms and also the TGM Network YouTube channel. Our next show will be pre-recorded tomorrow. That's the 26th, as that's the day this is uploaded. But In the Pocket will be uploaded on Thursday. And then we have Strike Zone this week. We got a special edition next week. Lots of shows to catch up on with the Game Sports Show. And we've missed you the past month, just as much as we miss our close friend, Scott Nason, and co-founder of the show. miss him every day. But Dane, thank you very much for taking time to come on, my friend. We'll be in touch, obviously, with Chell, the Game Sports Show, Chell 23, just because we're close friends, but also in terms of the show, we'll have another recording within the next 10 to 14 days.
Sounds good, my friend. I think some of the boys will be on Chell tonight, so if you got some time after doing all your editing on the show there, holla at the boys.
Holla at the boys, and there Dane is. Flood does our video edits, but yours truly does the audio edits. God, how far we have came. Unbelievable. This is
Look at us.
Now, the Game Sports Show, again, is powered by the Game Entertainment Media. I want to say thank you to thesportsdisplays.com. They're fantastic, and new sponsors are going to be joining the Game Sports Show family. We've been expecting a website update. It's happened, but then there were some complications, and then obviously with the unexpected passing of Scott, it's delayed a few things. So we appreciate the listeners for all the delays that we've had, and we're happy to be back here. And hopefully we're on the live radio stream soon. But either way, our podcasts are killer with numbers. Either way, you're not. The Game Sports Show is continuing. We're happy that this was our first show in the past month. It feels good to get on the airwaves, especially with you, Dane, and hearing you listeners. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And I'd like to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.